Exodus chapter 32, verse 24. Exodus chapter 32, verse 24. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. In another version, it says, instead of breaking it off, it says, and they took it off, basically. They stripped it off. They were taking out their earrings. We read other parts of that chapter. They took off gold earrings and gold jewelry and stuff, and they gave it to Aaron, who is now explaining to Moses about this golden calf that they've got there. You know, this is kind of an interesting line here. They gave me this gold. I cast it into the fire. And lo and behold, out came this calf. There's a lot of people believing stuff like that today. We'll get into that a little bit more later, but I just thought about that, you know. That sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? I threw this gold into the fire and this calf just came out. Our message title today is Worshiping at the Wrong Altar. You know, here the children of Israel are out in the wilderness. God has spoken to Moses and said, come up to the top of the mountain. And Moses has been up there around 40 days. God's speaking to Moses. He's giving him the Ten Commandments. God is now giving direction to Moses as to how he will lead the children of Israel and the things that God wants his people to do. The law is given on Mount Sinai during this time. The children of Israel have been delivered out of Egypt's bondage. But oh, how quickly they forget. Exodus 32:1 says, And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Aaron, you're second in command here. This Moses character that led us out of Egypt's bondage, he went up the mountain and gone a long time. We don't know what's happened to him. Aaron, make us a God that'll lead us. And you stop to think about that. That's kind of ridiculous thinking, isn't it? Make us something that's going to lead us. So here, we're going to give you this gold. And you make us a God like we had back in Egypt. I mean, here they had been in slavery. They had been in bondage to the Egyptians. And so quickly they've forgotten about the deliverance that God has wrought. Because you see, they haven't been out of Egypt even a year at this point. It's only been a brief period of time that they've been out of Egypt. And already, they're ready to forget what God has done for them. Make us another God. Whatever it comes out of the fire, that's what we'll follow. And that's the way people are today. They seem to be willing to follow just about anything. And when you stop to think about it, some of the stuff that people are following is just downright ridiculous. And we think, how can any person of any intelligence at all follow something like that? But yet they do. All you got to do is look around and see some of the strange altars that people are worshiping at today. You see, they told Aaron, just any God will do. And if you read the scriptures in chapter 32, verses 3 through 6, it talks about him breaking off the earrings and everything and how he fashions the golden calf. See, he lied to Moses when Moses came back down, because it says in these verses here that he fashioned with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. Verse 4. Moses comes down, he says, I threw this stuff in the fire and out popped this golden calf. Duh. No, he worked at it. He had some idea what he was doing when he made that golden calf. But in their mind, any God will do. There's a lot of gods out there. You say, oh, There's only one God. That's right, there's only one God. I'm talking God, capital G-O-D. Yahweh God. But there's a lot of little lowercase gods out there, people who think they're something they're not. Are people who think are willing to worship something that is not, that has no power, has no ability. We laugh at people who go out and worship a tree stump. But that's just the same thing what these people were doing. This golden calf couldn't do any more for them than a tree stump could. And there are people today who are still doing about the same thing. And it seems to be a growing trend as well. You know, I'll just worship anything, any God will do. In doing this, let me tell you something. Turning against God is not a wise thing to do. Because they incurred, it says here, the wrath of God Almighty. In fact, in chapter 32, verses 9 through 10, Moses said, God said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. God said, I'm ready to go down and wipe them off the face of the planet. Moses, this was going to be my people, but Moses, I've got you and I'll make you my people. I can build a whole new nation. I can build a whole new thing out of you. These people, I'm ready to wipe them out. And if it hadn't been for the fact that Moses intervened before God and beseeched God not to do that, they'd have all been goners. As it was, a number of them lost their life. You can read on a little bit further in the chapter and the next chapter. A lot of them lost their life because what had happened to them. But God wanted to wipe them all out. He said, they're worshiping in a strange altar down there, and I'm not going to have anything to do with this. I'm just going to wipe them out. But Moses beseeched God, said, God, don't do this, please. Please, Father, don't do this. They owed their very lives to the fact that Moses was able to intercede with God. They made excuses as to why they were worshiping in a strange altar. Verses 21 through 23, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. Moses, you know these people. You know how people are. They're just wanting to get in trouble. They're just looking for something to get into. It's just the way people are. I couldn't control them. So I just decided the best thing to do was go along with it, And they said, make us gods, and which will go before us, because after all, they didn't know what happened to you. And you were up there a long time and all of that. So I just thought, hey, it's not going to hurt anything if I take some of this gold and I put it in the fire and this gold calf comes out. I mean, what's it hurting? And that's the way a lot of people sitting in churches today are believing. It doesn't matter what you believe. I know there's been times in the past that I've said, I don't care if you go to my church or not, as long as you go to church. But anymore, I don't say it that way anymore. As long as you go to a Bible-believing church, it's okay. But there are a lot of churches out there that are not teaching the Word of God. They're worshiping at strange altars. People like Martin Luther and John Wesley and some of these other folks and the denominations that came out were based upon their teaching would be totally shocked and mortified at some of the teaching that's going on in the churches that bear their names today. Worshiping in strange altars. Well, Moses, you know how people are. And you know the thing was, here they are. God has said, okay, I'm going to give you basically a second chance here. I'm not going to wipe you out. But as you look throughout from the book of Exodus all the way up to the book of Malachi, as far as the Old Testament, and we're going to get into the New Testament part stuff a little bit later. But all through that, what did they continue to do? Just ever so often, they had to go worship at a strange altar. Well, let's see. This God over here kind of sounds good. After all, he doesn't have some of the requirements that God over here has. So it's a little easier to get along with God over here. Because after all, I can do what I want to do with God over here, and he don't care. And that's the way a lot of people want it. They want to worship at an altar where the God that they're worshiping doesn't care what they do. That they can do anything they want to do. They can live any way they want to live. Because you see, God, Yahweh God, Heavenly Father God, he has some requirements for us. Just like when you're living in a family and you're growing up as a child, your parents have some requirements in their household, and that's the way you're going to live. Father God has some requirements for us in the way that he wants us to live. So a lot of people would rather go out and worship at a strange altar because they don't want to have to go with these requirements over here. So they seem to forget. And every once in a while, they'd wander off into strange altars. You know, one of the worst ones, and let's face it, in reading the Old Testament, you know some of the problems that the children of Israel got themselves into. They ended up in bondage several times, and this, that, and the other, because they worshiped some strange gods. Solomon, third king of Israel, Bible says was one of the wisest men. Did some pretty dumb things, really. And one of the dumbest things he did was when he allowed strange gods to come into the land to appease some of his foreign wives. Well, it's okay if we bring one of their gods in. After all, they'll feel more at home here. So he allowed strange gods to come into the land and strange altars to be built. But the Bible tells us that one of the worst things they did was when they allowed the god Molech to be worshipped. Who's the god Molech? A lot of people never heard of the god Molech. But the god Molech was a Semitic deity honored by the sacrifice of children. I tell you, folks, we're still worshiping at the altar of God Molech today in some ways. Oh, we're not passing him through the fire like they did then. But there's a tad bit of that Molech worship running around today. Palestinian excavations have uncovered the evidences of infant skeletons and burial places around heathen shrines. The Ammonites revered Molech as a protecting father. But what kind of a father is that puts his children through the furnace? But that's what they did. Yahweh God had spoken to the children of Israel and said, don't you have anything to do with this god Molech. Don't you have anything to do even with the people that worship this god Molech. Yet we find out every once in a while they had to go dabble at a strange altar. And some of them were guilty of putting their children through the fire. Was prohibited, as I said, by Hebrew law. And if you want to write this down, Leviticus 18:21. Again, that's Leviticus 18:21. Leviticus 20:1-5. Leviticus 20:1-5. Now that was pre-Solomon, and Solomon yet allowed the worship of Molech. He built an altar to Molech on Topheth in the valley of Hinnom. Worshipping in a strange altar. This cult was worshipped off and on by the children of Israel. Some of the times when they got into their deepest problems, they were worshipping this god, Molech. And unfortunately, as I said, we're still worshipping in some ways the god Molech today. Putting our children through the fire, sacrificing our children. Oh, we don't want to call it Molech worship, but it's not a whole lot different. We're still worshiping at strange altars. As I said, there were some other scriptures that had to do with this. Jeremiah 7, 29 through 34. Again, that's Jeremiah 7, 29 through 34. Ezekiel 16, verses 20 through 22. Ezekiel 16, 20 through 22. Ezekiel 23, 37 through 39. Again, that's chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. And then Amos, chapter 5, verse 26. There was no form of idol worship that was more abhorrent than Molech worship. And yet we found the people who claimed to be the people of God that were worshiping at the altar of Molech. And we find people that claim to be the children of God and claim to be Christians today that are worshiping at strange altars like this. How abhorrent can a people get who claim to have a relationship with Yahweh God? You say, but yeah, but that was 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, when they were doing this stuff that you're talking about. You know, some things don't change a whole lot. I don't care how along the period of time you go, it just takes on a little bit different form. So let's get into today's world. People still worshiping at strange altars. Today I'm not addressing a people who don't know Jesus Christ as the Son of God or as Lord and Savior. You've got to understand, if they don't have a relationship with God, if they've never had a relationship with God, if they don't know Jesus Christ, you can understand them worshiping at strange altars. Because they don't know any different. I'm talking about people who claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the remarks I make, I address to the church in general, whether it goes by the name Christian, whether it be Protestant, Catholic, are one of the groups that say we trace our history back and we were neither ever Protestant nor Catholic. And there are some churches out there, there are a few out there that still say we go back all the way back to the days of the apostles and we were never Protestant and we were never Catholic. That's the group of people I want to address this message to today. The people who say, I'm a Christian, but they're worshiping in a strange altar. And all you got to do is look around. And I'm sure you can think of somebody that says, I'm a Christian. But when you look at the altar they're worshiping at, it's not the altar of Yahweh God. It's not worshiping what the Bible has to say, as the Bible has to say. Believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as the means of our salvation. Not worshiping at that altar. I'm talking about people who have figuratively offered their children to the fires of Molech. And I know some people are going to say, well, okay, well, you're talking about abortion. I think abortion is wrong. And I don't really see a whole lot of difference between it and offering your children to the fires of Molech. But as bad as that is, there are people out there who are offering their children to a lot of other things today that are in many ways just as bad. Letting their kids get involved in drugs. Letting their kids do whatever they want to do so that they can have a good time. And probably everyone here is familiar with that story. Oh, well, I want my kids to have a good time. I don't want them to be raised up strict like I was and have to worship at the altar of Yahweh God. I want them to go out and party, have a good time. After all, that last breath, maybe they'll have a chance to get right with God. But you know what? You can't count on that last breath, that deathbed confession. Odds are it's not going to take place. I'm talking to a people who want to say it didn't happen the way the Word of God says. I know we got a lot of those out there today. It didn't happen the way the Bible says. And I realize that we can have a disagreement about interpretation of some things. We can have a discussion about how some things happened. But I'm referring to people who dispute the truth of the Word. I don't believe anything that's in that book. It's a bunch of lies. That's what some people think. I realize, as I said, we can have discussion about how some things are, what they mean, how they apply to us. After all, the Bible was written with a Jewish mindset, and we're reading it with a Western mindset. And we have to understand some of these things, and sometimes we can differ about that. And that's okay. As long as we don't want to compromise what the Word of God has to say, it's okay to have discussion. It's good to have it. But there are a lot of people out there, well, you know, we can take out this part. You know, there's a group out there called the Jesus Seminar. You probably all maybe have heard of them. They meet ever so often in the great state of California. And they discuss the things of the Bible. Well, let's see, the Bible says that Jesus, nah, he didn't say that. Yeah, take that out. Jesus, nah, take that out. Well, pretty soon, they're going to have this Bible pared down to it can be just a pamphlet. Because after all, they've taken so many things that Jesus said and the things that God instructed. Oh, no, it didn't happen that way. Let's just take that out. These quote-unquote men of God are worshiping at strange altars. It was interesting yesterday, February the 14th. Front page of the Tennessean newspaper. It said, Darwin still divides believers in the Bible. All of us are familiar with Mr. Darwin, who wrote the book, The Origin of the Species. The one that basically says that you and I descended from a chimpanzee or something. And I know some other people revised that, and they got them, I guess, descending from a fish who crawled out on the land and suddenly was able to walk and breathe oxygen like we do. And then it went back a little bit further, and we came from this single cell that was floating around a bunch of cosmic protoplasm, and one day it just, well, something happened. That's about the same as saying I threw the gold into the fire and out came this calf. I mean, it's just as easy to believe. But Darwin still divides believers in the Bible. And one local pastor here in Nashville, Tennessee, was quoted as saying, I believe in God, but I also believe in evolution. He states, I've been struck by how the first chapter of Genesis is a rather evolutionary perspective. If you cut out the 6 days business, let's just cut out part of what the Bible says there. Let's pick and choose what we want to accept here. So if we take, you know, I've told you before, you can make the Bible say anything you want to do if you pick and choose your words. So let's just cut some of this out, and you know. And I told some people one time, I mean, I preached once before about a little bit of evolution in it, and I said, quite frankly, the chimpanzee should be offended by us saying that we descended from them. Because after all, look at some of the stupid things people have done. If I were a chimpanzee, I wouldn't want to think that I had anything to do with their relationship. You know? So cut out the 6 days business. Now I realize the Bible wasn't written as a book of history. It's not meant to be a book of history. but yet it has some historical aspect to it. It is written to give us God's word, God's perspective of things, and how God wants us to live. And I know that we can discuss whether it was 6 days of 24 hours. We can discuss if it was 6,000 years. We can discuss if it was 6 geological ages. That doesn't matter so much. God said, in a 6-day period, he did this stuff. Now, I know there's a scripture in the Bible here that says, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So I'm not going to fuss with somebody if they say it was 6 24-hour days or 6,000 years or 6 geological. I'm not going to fuss with them about that. It says that God created these things and he did it in a specific time frame. That's what I believe. God did it. So that doesn't matter so much. But if you're worshiping at the altar, say, well, but it was all evolution. And God just let us evolve from creatures that came out of some type of cosmic petri dish. That's not what the Word has to say. The Word says that God created Adam from the dust of the earth. It didn't say that he mixed him up in some gigantic bowl and it swirled around and he tossed it out there and out came man. No, it says he created him out of the dust of the earth. It was a deliberate, specific deed that God performed when he created Adam. It was also a specific event when God created woman, created Eve. He did it deliberately and specifically. He didn't wait for her to evolve from some cosmic event. Any time we begin to worship at an altar that makes changes to what the word of Yahweh God has to say, we're worshiping at the wrong altar. And yet there are a lot of people out there in quote-unquote Christian churches today that are worshiping at the wrong altar. They want to change what the word has to say. Well, let's take this one here and rip it out. Because we don't believe it happened that way. Well, a lot of times the reason they don't want to believe it happened that way is because they got convicted about something and God began to deal with them. They don't want to be convicted about it. So let's take it out of the Bible. That way we're not going to be convicted about it. After all, if you took your word to your Bible, took everything out of the Bible that had anything to do about sin, then there'd be nothing in here to convict you about sin. So let's just take all that stuff out. Then we won't have to worry about being convicted about sin. You know, and that's what a lot of people want you to believe today, that there's no such thing as sin. That's just something that these guys who put this all together and wrote this, they put that in there to keep us in line. No, God had them put it in there. Yahweh God, through the direction of the Holy Spirit, said, write these words. And they wrote them. Why, yeah, but there's, if I take my King James and I compare it to a different, I could all say something different a little bit. Translation. But you go back to the Hebrew, that's where you got to go back to sometimes. Sometimes you got to go back to the Greek and find out what it had to say. Because when God spoke the word, he spoke it to his people and they wrote it down as he gave it to them. And we got to study to show ourselves the proof the word says. We got to get into the word sometimes. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And I know somebody's going to come along and say, well, yeah, but he's talking about the book of Revelation there. I don't care if he's talking about the book of Revelation. He is saying, don't take the words out of this book. Don't change the word that's in this book. And I believe it applies to the whole book. Don't change what it has to say. Amen. or you're worshiping in a strange altar when you start to do that. You're worshiping in a strange altar if you think there's more than one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. John 14:6. Matthew 7:13-14 says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If you're saying there's another way than what the Word of God has to say, then you're worshiping at a strange altar. And believe me, there's a lot of strange altars building their fires out there today. And people are worshiping at those strange altars because they've said, I found another way. I was reading an article in the paper the other day about a young lady. It mentioned a young lady who was a Wiccan. You all know what a Wiccan is? That's essentially a Satan worshiper. What boils down to, oh, they'll say, oh, we don't worship Satan. Well, if you're not worshiping Jehovah God, then you're worshiping Satan. And she used to be a Baptist theological student. But she said, I got tired of it telling me that there was only one way. I believe there's many, many ways. It's like driving in Nashville sometimes. When I first moved here, I tell you, I would not go to downtown Nashville because I'd pull up to an intersection. There'd be 20 signs up there telling me 20 different directions, and none of them were really the way I wanted to go or needed to go. I didn't know what to do. I got so lost. And there are a lot of signs out there, take this path to heaven, take this path to heaven, take this path to heaven. In the meantime, all they're doing is leading you to a dead end. There's only one way. And you're worshiping at the wrong altar if you're worshiping at the altar of celebrity. And oh boy, are there a lot of people out there worshiping at the altar of celebrity. Well, so-and-so, who's on TV, said, and after all, they're a big star, so they must know what they're talking about. That ain't going to cut it. When you stand before the judgment seat of God, and he says, I can't find your name in the book. And you can't say, well, this famous person on TV said, that won't work. Because they're going to be standing there too, and he's going to be looking at them and saying, I don't know who you are. Your name's not in the book. The Bible tells us if our name's not in the book of life, then we're lost. And the only way your name's going to be in the book of life is if you're worshiping at the altar of Yahweh God. You're accepting what the Word of God has to say. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only altar that's going to get us there. We got to be worshiping at that altar. Yeah, there are a lot of strange altars out there today. And a lot of people are worshiping at them. Mark chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you. We'll stop right there for just a moment. There's a tremendous amount of deceivers out there today. And some of them claim to be Christian preachers. But there are deceivers out there. I can understand sometimes if Joe Celebrity gets up who's never ever claimed to be a Christian to start with and says, I found this new way to salvation. But when Joe so-and-so gets up there and he says, I'm a man of God. I went to theological school and I did this and I all these prestigious things. And he starts preaching some same fire. I tell you, that's a man that's trying to deceive you. He says, verse 6, For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And in my lifetime, I can't count how many people who have said, I am Christ. And with the exception of a couple, every one of them is dead. Every one either killed by their own followers or committed suicide. or got themselves into a position that there was no way out and they died in a raging fire or something of that nature. They weren't Christ. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior of the world. And He died on a cross 2,000 years ago, or almost 2,000 years ago, that the shedding of His blood, the giving of His life, paid the eternal price, paid the eternal sacrifice for our sin. And by calling upon His name, we can find forgiveness. We can find eternal life. We can find a relationship with God. That's the only altar there is to worship at. The one that He's put before us. If we're worshiping in any other altar, it's a strange altar. It's a strange fire. And it won't hold up on the day of judgment. And no, you can't get there and stand before the judgment seat of God and say, well, so and so, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what so-and-so said. It matters what you believed. It matters what you did with your own life. That's what matters. That relationship that you and you alone have with Jesus Christ, that's what matters. If somebody else fails and falls away and goes down the wrong path, that has nothing to do specifically with your salvation. You and you alone are responsible for your relationship with Jesus Christ. But there are a lot of people out there with strange altars. Come here. Come here. Come listen to what I have to say. I found a new way. Just send me a few bucks and I'll bless you and you'll be okay with God. Oh, you don't have to. All those things that are in that book that was written so many. You don't have to pay attention to them. I've got a new revelation from God. Boy, the minute you start hearing, I've got a new revelation from God, you better start wondering about what's going on. I understand that God's got things in this book here that He spoke, and He begins to reveal some things to us in the last days. But that is just a revelation to us of what He had already written. But I'm talking about people who got whole new weird theories out there. And like I said in the beginning, some of it's just about as ridiculous as saying, I threw this into the fire and out came this calf. And Father, now I ask that as we close this message today, Father, that it would be heard by those that You intended it to be heard by. And Father, that we'll take to our hearts what You have to say. And Father, that You would bless us today. And Father, those that may be listening to this message by CD or through the internet, Father, or other means, I pray, Father, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, that the Holy Spirit would convict them, Father, today and help them to realize they need that relationship with Jesus Christ. I thank You, Father, for what You're going to do. For we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.